Oh, you know it's off the chains.
Bam! Welcome to the first episode of year 2021 of the podcast Off the Change Show. Thank you so much for joining us today. I am so excited about the guest today. I'm so excited about the segments. We actually talking about something concrete. I can't believe it. Yeah, I know. You're like, what the hell? Anyway, Christy, my beautiful co-host, how was your Christmas? How was your New Year?
You know what? Christmas was great. It was relaxing, quiet. New Year's was mainly the same. Ate some really good food and just chill with the fam. Yeah. How about you?
I the same. I had not by choice. I call it by force and choice, by voice. basically nobody, nothing. So it was me and my onesie. It was real sad. If I had posted that, I could have been a sitcom by myself. It was just that, me, Dick Clark, he dead, and I'm watching his show. So I don't know what that was about. I'm watching videos of people I never heard of this year that got famous that I was like, for what? And so, that was it. That was me in a nutshell. Christmas was all right, though. Christmas was all right. I had some people fly in from back east. They made it. I had them quarantined in a closet for like a day.
Nice.
And with mask on and took their temperature. But everything was good. I got exactly what I wanted for Christmas. So it was all good. It's all good. Right. So what you got for us today? What's going on off the change today?
Ooh, off the change. All right. We got some good comedians on standby here. We want to go ahead and let y'all introduce yourselves.
Now, hold on. I got to correct you. Not good. These are great comedians. You understand me? These are great comedians. And I think I would know because I'm a good comedian, but these are great comedians. You understand me? So go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. We'll step it up. Go ahead.
We had them introduce themselves. Go ahead. My man from Chi-Town. Chi-Town's finest.
Alex Hurt, Chicago. What up, y'all?
All right, Chi-Town in the house.
In the house. Mr. Paul Conyers, young and handsome. Look at this dude.
That's right. Paul Conyers from the Bay Area or Sacramento, depending on which one I'm playing in, so I can identify with the audience more. What's up, everybody?
I love it. And congratulations to you. You got engaged this year, right? Past year, right?
I got married this last year.
You got married? Wow.
Congratulations. All right.
Was it a shotgun wedding? Did y'all do it at the same time? Because I remember the engagement.
Yeah, the engagement was like, that was like last year, but we kept our plans, you know, COVID be damned. We did it.
Good. Congratulations, man. Congratulations.
Good for you guys.
And the man, the myth, the legend, the infamous.
Is he here?
He is here. Go ahead. Tell him who you are.
You can't pronounce my name, huh?
No, I got it. Ngayo.
Ungayo.
Ungayo. I got it. Ungayo Bilam, right?
Ungayo Bilam.
Hey, I got the Swahili roots, man. I go back to my Yoruba roots on you. You know, I understand. I got it.
Legend, man.
Thank y'all for being here, man. Thank you for joining us. I don't know if you've heard the podcast before. Hopefully, you'll listen after, or at least your episode after this. But we we have two segments, man. And this is the funny, the zany, the crazy segments. You can say anything goes in this segment. But I like to introduce the world to these great comedians that I know on a personal basis, want to know on a personal basis, and get to know more about you. So we ask questions that, you know, typically we go on shows and radio, we already know what they're going to ask. How did you get into comedy? Who was your influence? You know, stuff like that. We ain't asking that. We might ask that, but we're going to ask other stuff. So 2021, man, is here. So each of you answer the question for me. How do you decide what to focus on both professionally and personally in a year?
I'm just trying to hold on to my unemployment, so I'm not looking for work.
I love the honesty. That's cool.
I love it.
Get that money, baby. Get that money.
I mean, listen, if unemployment's listening, I am looking for work.
Okay. I just haven't found it. So check this out, guy. So you're not letting them video or Zoom no shows on you either, so they won't, unemployment won't catch you, because they will catch you with that money. So you're not dealing with that? But are you even, do you have focus goals this year? Do you do a vision board, anything, Ngayo?
I visualize in my mind. In the vision board of my mind, I create a new reality as I walk every day.
Well, you stay high a lot, so that happens anyway, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been trying to generate more content in my life and content for other people.
Okay.
So
I like that.
No, my thing was I had a weed and travel podcast for a minute, and I was going to restart that, but nobody's fucking traveling, so I can't really be like, yeah. And so this week I went to the living room.
Yeah.
All right.
It's funny with weed and travel. Sometimes if you smoke weed, you traveling anyway. You ain't got to go nowhere. So your weed and travel could still be it.
I'm just rolling with the Mandalorian. I've been rolling on the Slave One with my man Mandalorian, and we've been exploring the galaxy and fighting against the New Republic.
All right, good. Thank you. All right, Alex. How do you decide what to focus on?
Going back to school, I was a nurse for 15 years back in the day. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Nurse when I was a kid.
You were 12? I
graduated. Once we get into the 50s, 18 is kid. Don't get it twisted. But
you are not 50, Alex. You are not. Shut up, man.
I'm not the oldest one.
Oh, my man.
You look like the oldest one, Gaius. So it doesn't count.
I've had a hard life. Listen, once I shave my beard off, it's over for you, host. Youngest move. Also, young women like the professor look on me. I don't know why it is. They just like, you know, they want to see me in my office hours.
So go ahead. You're going back to school.
Yeah, I was a nurse for 15 years as an LPN in the Army. And then I joined the fire department here in East Chicago. And I was for 10 years. Right. So for most of my life, I've been a first responder. You know, at 18, I joined the Army. I was a combat medical specialist. I was driving the ambulance and taking care of people.
Yeah.
And COVID, this whole thing kind of made me feel like I should be on deck. You know what I'm saying?
You're right. Okay. Call to serve again.
You're a hero all around. And you're an adrenaline junkie, apparently.
He said you're an adrenaline junkie, Alex.
Let me tell you something. I never thought about being a firefighter until I got to training and I went through my first smoke room. And I thought, this is the coolest shit I've ever done.
I remember that in my first smoke room too, but it wasn't about fire.
We already know.
And guys, we already know.
You are in a smoke room right now. I see it in the back.
But this whole COVID thing made me think, you know, I got a lot of training and I always enjoyed the job I loved more than any other job was being a nurse, except for comedy. Comedy being on stage is like a natural place for us to be because we're entertainers. That's what we do. But other than that, the job I loved most was nursing. I enjoyed it, especially when I got into pediatrics, which was gonna be working with kids, because being a big infant myself, I just fit in perfect.
Yeah.
I just sent to get my recertification on my nursing license, and I'm going back to school. I'm signing up for school now so that I can, even if I'm going back to comedy, because I'm going back, that's not gonna happen. I'm gonna study and get my RN, and then I'm gonna try and get my BSN, because if this shit ever happens again, and it happened to me.
I heard that. Shouts out to going back to school, man, and new beginnings. That's what I'm talking about. Paul, the youngster in the business, the youngster in the game. Come on, man. How do you decide what to focus on?
Oh, you know it, man. I tell you what, I have been writing my 2021 goals since midnight 2 days ago. I've got right here.
Nice.
I wanted to do steps.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Off the change, baby. We made it.
Yeah. So, I mean, guys, it's January 2nd. I'm already halfway done. I don't know.
You're overachiever. You are.
We're going to file this away until November, and we're going to check back in. Maybe we start it, but already halfway there. So I feel pretty good.
Always be write a list. And then when you finish the list, you cross it off. You already got one done.
It makes you feel like you did something. You got to write stuff down, man. And you got to write that way. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
We want to see a check mark next to that first one.
Yes, don't write
that. That's good, John.
I mean,
so, hey, do any of you have plans this year or had plans to shoot a special or anything like that this year before COVID happened?
Yeah.
Yes, no?
No.
I'm secretly working on my third album.
Okay. That's what's up.
It'll be called Weediest and Sexiest.
But tell everybody the titles of the first two. This ain't going to get them in, guy. Talk to my people.
First album is called Weed and Sex.
Okay.
And the second album is called Weedier and Sexier.
I love it. Nice. I get it. That's easy.
Fourth one, I'll probably be old. I'll probably just be like, let me get high and look at it.
Yeah.
You killing me.
That is too funny. All right, Christy, go ahead.
All right. So now we kind of touched on this a little bit, but I want to dive in a little bit deeper and talk about your, you know, do you create short-term goals, long-term goals, or are you just going with the flow? Anybody.
I used to be a goal goer after.
Mm-hmm. In your younger days, or
in my younger hundred days, when I always, you know, I gotta be famous, I gotta be this, I gotta be that, I gotta do this, I gotta do that.
when you was hungry,
tell jokes and smoke weed. That's really, like, ultimately in my heart, that's what I love to do more than anything, more than being on TV, more than being on Netflix, more than doing this, more than doing that. I like to travel around and tell jokes and chop it up with people after the show. That's really my favorite thing to do.
I love it. So, hey guy, what was your worst ever real, like, regular job?
Regular job?
Yeah, did you ever have one?
What?
What is that? Okay, all right, never mind.
Okay, now you don't know what a J-O-B is? Okay.
Never mind.
Don't get it twisted. I used to do drywall for my dad in the summer, and that shit is hard work.
Yes, it is.
I come up with some other skills to make the money that I wanted.
I worked for Venture Stores in the shipping and receiving department when Venture was open back in the day. It was a terrible job, but we used to lose cases of, like, it was back when CD players, compact discs and stuff like that. And those cases would fall off trucks all the time. You know, I'm Puerto Rican. That's part of the rule.
Yeah.
Somebody was back there catching it, though.
And I'd be like, I don't know what happened to those. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's
crazy. Not one ever turned up.
I don't know what happened to that blowout system, but did you hear the new stereo in my car? It's really nice.
Yeah, Columbia. Were you supplying the Columbia Records and Tapes Club?
I had the stuff. I had everything you needed, man. When Cabbage Patch came out, I came up.
That's what's up. So,
hey, we didn't hear anything.
I'm gonna talk to somebody. Pause.
Was I had this big vacuum truck that I used to have to drive through the parking lot at like 6 a.m. in the morning, clean the parking lot.
Yeah.
It was my first thing in the morning. And one day, the Pepsi company behind me, I decided to see how fast the truck could go. And they're going through the Pepsi bench into the Pepsi company. Yeah, they fired me right after that.
Yeah, they fired you right after. That's another Puerto Rican rule. They fired you right after. Yeah.
That'd be the best way
to get. I got to talk to somebody with some sense for a sec. Paul, long term and short term. But do you make these plans, or?
You know, I was really into, like, goals in 2019, and I liked them. They were fun. And then, you know, 2020 just kind of shat on all that. So I don't know, man. I mean, I released, like, I dropped my album last year and everything. It's called Above the Fray for all your listeners. All right.
Congratulations, man.
Okay. It's
funny to say people dropping albums again.
I felt cool to say it, you know?
Yeah.
I can't dance or rap or anything, but I have a fucking album. That's pretty
cool. Somebody asked me to do an album. I just don't want to. I don't like listening to myself, period. I feel like people can watch me better.
Yes.
Yeah, nobody does. So anyway, congratulations.
I grew up listening to comedy albums, right? When I was a kid, you know, Alex probably, when he was a teenager, we probably listened to some of the same.
That's how I grew up listening to them, you know. George Kirby, Bill Cosby, Moms Maybe, Fred Fox, all of them.
Richard Pryor, Bob Newhart.
Hey, man. It's funny you say that, N'Gayo. You said Bob Newhart. I was telling somebody, younger comics, how funny Bob Newhart was. They were like, man, Bob Newhart was not. I was like, you don't understand. Bob Newhart was hysterical.
Hilarious.
Yes, man. And Carol Burnett Show was my favorite Carol Burnett Show with all of them. Man, anyway, them the classics.
Tim Conway, Lyle Waggoner.
And so, and keeping with the process for 2020, tell me this. How did 2020 change your process or alter or your creativity or anything that you would do yearly or that you thought you would do in comedy yearly? How did it alter your process of thinking of this year now?
I got more pissed off as the year went along. I was okay with, like, when it first happened, I'm like, all right, we'll buckle down. This is going to be all right. We're going to get through it. By the time we got to November, I was ready to keep it going. I was like, I would walk through with some of that bullshit because I'm ready to kill. So it got to a point where I got so frustrated watching what was going on that I stopped doing, like, social media because I was getting mad at people on social media.
Right.
That was what 2020 did, was piss me the fuck off the whole year. That's all.
Yeah.
And as far as comedy went, this was going to be my best financial year scheduled.
Yeah.
And then it went.
Yeah. Dude, That happened to me, Alex, 48 hours, man, in March. I just come off the road. I had 36 shows booked. In 48 hours, I lost $18,000 in 36 shows. Yes. 48 hours. Oh. And so I was the same way, like, what in the hell? But I knew when this started, I already told me. I said, this is going to last 18 months. So I was already prepared. I said, it's going to be 18 months. When you talk about a pandemic, and I'm a student of history, I looked at the pandemic. I said, it's going to be 18 months at least. And I was on a cruise ship
and it hit. They called it down. Ooh. They shut it down. I had to fight to get off the ship because I was a nurse for 15 years. And when they said the word pandemic, I was like, I got to get home.
Yep.
They shut down the airports. Yeah. They're going to shut down everything. And I'm going to be stuck here with all these Filipino people and I'm killed.
shout out to my Filipino friends back there. They make good looking.
The Filipino nurses always, they say
football in peace, football and vice. But yeah, man. And it was funny now is people are asking, I get a lot of emails now starting about cruise ships. And I'm like, I'm not going on a cruise ship anytime soon.
Right.
Oh, man, what are you talking about? Like, that's the COVID heaven.
Oh, I'm not going there. I'm so broke. I'm going, I do a show right now at the Wuhan Comedy Clinic and shit.
Hey, listen, if you saw the from Wuhan,
not the Wuhan Comedy Clip. That's hey, Paul. So, how about you, man? How did it alter your thinking and alter whatever you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, same thing. I think we, you know, probably everyone thinks that this was going to be like their year. It was. I definitely had a bunch of shit planned. That's for sure. But, you know, once everything just kind of fell to hell and all the road gigs got canceled and stuff, I just thought like, all right, this is going to frustrate and upset everybody, including me. So I was like, I'm just going to focus on the only thing I can control is like, I can still be here and I can still work on writing and getting shit done. Because, I mean, now I know, like, you know, now that I've done the first album special, I know that's what I'm building towards. So I can still work towards that. And if I can, you know, if I have to do social distance shows or Zoom shows or whatever, I can still work on my shit, even though I can't go out, you know, to five spots a night and work on it. I can still do what I need to do. So I'm just trying to control what I can, basically.
Control the controllables. To control the control. That's right. And Gaio, how about you, man?
I was fortunate that I had already been writing for a few things. Like, I write for Leafly.com, and I used to write for the Sacramento Review before they shut down. I'm the cannabis writer for a bunch of different spots. So I definitely had to shift to doing more writing. I prefer to tell jokes, but you got to pay the bills somehow. So I do more writing, and I'm looking to expand my YouTube channel, NGAIO420. And do more of that stuff. But, you know, it's a challenge, man, because I really just, in my heart, and I've said it before and it's still true, I just like to travel around and tell jokes. And I was in Spain. I was at the International Cannabis Business Conference in Barcelona when the president came on and was like, hey, everybody's got to come home and shit. And I was like, man, I got a 3-week tour plan. I'm about to kick it in Berlin. I let my hair grow because I heard about a black owned barbershop in Berlin. I was gonna have an international black man experience. All is good, yeah, my homie. But no, I had to come home with my afro all crazy and all the barbershops shut down. I had to shave my own head and shit.
What?
No.
Wow. Okay.
Well, how many people here are married with kids? How many, anybody married with kids?
No, I got kids, but I'm not married. My kids are grown though.
So. With kids, but I'm not.
I got kids.
I got 3 boys right now in the house. I was married before. I had 2 daughters from my ex-wife. And then I have 3 boys now, 21, 16, and 15. So the whole thing for me has been completely different because I had to be home for the whole schooling. I was the lunch lady every day. You know, I had to be here. Yeah. For me, the whole
15 and 15, you are broke. They're trying to eat you in the house.
And for lunch, they have a lot of chili mac. They had a lot of chili mac and what was in the refrigerator, mayonnaise sandwiches. They went back to when we were young, bologna sandwiches with the when it rose up in the middle, grilled bologna. Yeah,
it was like I was 10 years on the fire department with nothing to do, so I learned how to cook really well. So they,
yeah, right.
They knew it was on.
It was on the profit.
You look at the food budget, talking to your kids like, yeah, you got to eat at your homie's house at least once a week this year.
go steal some lunch money. All right, Christy, what you got?
Eat at somebody's house at least 3 times a month.
All right, Steph mentioned earlier that, you know, comedians, you guys find the funny in everything. So aside from COVID, I mean, and maybe you found some funny in COVID too. What were the funniest moments that you witnessed in 2020 or that you, I mean, that, or maybe you created in 2020? Go ahead and Guile, let's start with you.
Okay. Well, I've been producing I do a monthly comedy show with nowherecomedyclub.com. It's online, it's fun. It's probably one of my favorite online comedy shows to do. You can hear the laughter and everything. I mean, it's not standing in front of hundreds of people. It's not comedy heroin, but it's comedy method.
It's comedy crank. It's comedy crank.
Crank it up.
Yeah. I mean, it's magic.
Yeah.
That was fun. Okay. Okay, good.
All right. How about you, Paul?
What was the question? Sorry.
The funniest things you saw or created.
Oh, right. Yeah, sorry. I was so psyched to make that American Gangster reference. I lost all frame of
Somebody does it every show, though.
Yeah.
Mental magic.
All right.
Must be the shit.
Shout out to Blue Magic. We're going to have him as a sponsor next. Go ahead.
Yeah, that'd be dope. You know, I mean, I've really come to kind of enjoy the Zoom shows a little bit, but they were so hard when I first started. And I didn't, like, the one thing that I didn't really count on is, like, when you get heckled on Zoom is just, like, another level because they could just see your house and pick apart the place you live. And the first time I did a Zoom show, I had my camera facing this way and I got like a bunch of trophies in the back and I was bombing hard. And so they started heckling me and they were like, you know, we can all share the same audio feed so everyone hears it. And they were like, hey, dude, where'd you get the trophies from? What are the trophies for? And the thing is that they're from the World Series of Comedy. But I was like, I'm not that.
He was like, this is my NBA championship.
Yeah, I was like,
I was lifeguard of the year.
Right.
Can't let the pass go.
I was on yearbook in high school.
Yeah. I was giving gay raid to LeBron the year he won it in Cleveland. That's what can happen. What about you, Alex, man? Some funny. I know you pissed off this year.
Was trying to buy toilet paper when I first got here.
Hilarious.
I was like, where the fuck did all the toilet paper? I didn't know what was going on. When I walked over and I was like, I'm going to go get some toilet paper. If you bought out of toilet paper, I went to Sam's Club. There was nothing.
Yeah.
That should happen.
Yeah, nothing.
Did it take you back to your military days?
We're going to die. We could die with shitty drawers. It ain't like
Right.
Put on some clean before you go to war. That ain't how it happened.
And once that first bullet flies over your head anyway.
All we do is eat the MRE with the cheese in it. You won't boo-boo for like 10 months anyway. You're good. It's proven. I'm done.
MRE rolls, but it's like two napkins and shit. Like two Wendy napkins that you
right.
All over the fingers. It's terrible.
All right, look. So Christmas just happened. What was your best gift you got? And worst gift you got? Even it didn't have to be for Christmas, but this year, what was the best gift you got and the worst gift you got? Let's start with Paul.
I got, I'm 6'7", so clothes are very hard for me to get, and it's hard for other people to shop for me. But my wife got me these Under Armour leggings, and they fit so well. They're so nice. They're stretchable. I'm gonna work out in them, sleep in them. They're gonna be great. My brother, on the other hand, he got me this really nice San Francisco Giants jersey, but he was like, they look kind of big, so I got you a medium. I haven't worn.
6'7" at a medium.
Got you a
medium. That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's like a midriff. I look like one of those hot chicks at the game. It's like
your brother didn't give a damn about you. That's what I'm telling you. He's trying to tell you.
He knows, like, this is his world too. I don't know what he was thinking, but thank you so much.
They're bringing back crop tops on dudes.
But Paul, shout out to you for all the short people just cringe when you said 6'7". Thank you for bragging about that.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And as a man who can't stretch anymore as much as you just did, you put your knee up to your nose, right. Dude. Yeah. I'm jealous. Yeah. I'm jealous
When I played college ball, I sucked, but the one thing I was really good at was stretching. I was a stretcher on the team.
That's Paul, I can't even stand next to you. I'm 4'11". Like, I'm like up to your waist. Like,
that's why I chose her as a host, man. I feel like LeBron when I'm next to her. I'd be like, yeah. I feel like it's all good. And Gaio, best and worst gift, man. Best and worst gift this year.
I got to see my kids.
That was the worst or the best? You got, hey, my kids. I know how it is. We got multiple kids. Sometimes it's the best thing. Sometimes it's, so.
I'm very fortunate, and then my kids are hella cool. My daughter just graduated from Sarah Lawrence this summer.
Hey, shout out to a graduation daughter, graduating daughter. Thank you.
That's great.
Right. My son is in college too. He's 19. He's a nerd. He's a good one.
That's what's up.
It's awesome. He used to play D&D at the same place that I played D&D at 30 years ago.
Wow.
Circle of life, man.
So that was your best gift. What was your worst gift this year?
I fucking had to come home from Spain, man.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be, that's an ongoing thing.
I had
been in Spain for 2 days on top of a 3-week tour.
Shout out.
I had to fucking come home. I've been practicing my Spanish. Practicing my Barcelona Spanish. Right? Brother,
I feel for you, man. Shout out to the lonely ride home from Spain.
Yeah.
2 days. Shout out to you. Alex, give the worst gift, man.
I'll put it to you right now.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
All right.
And you got it. And for our audio listeners, you got to tell us what it is.
Oh,
wow. Wow. Tell us what that is for people that just listen.
He is a picture. And he's my first puppy since I got married because both of my wives didn't like dogs. And I finally talked this one. I said, hey, if I buy you that new house, can I get a dog? And she said, yeah.
That was it. Right. Is that a pit? Blue nose pit or just a pit?
Yeah.
Okay. Man, congratulations.
We have to have a pit bull.
I was going to say that, but I wanted you to say it first. what was your worst
in
gift?
His house.
Oh man, I love it.
That's all hilarious. Right. The dog and the house. All right. Yeah. So each of you, real quickly, telling me what does success look like for you at the end of this year? What does success look like for Alex Ortiz at the end of 2021?
I'd like to just get back to being happy all the time. Cause I mean, I hate the fact that 2020 took so much happiness from me. I'm that guy that I walk around, I smile all day. I laugh at everybody. I'm hardly ever in a bad mood. And this year, my bad moods have really gotten like terrible. And so to me, success would be not being so pissed off next year.
If you take some birth control pills, man, I heard it helps. But, you know, it's
a little bit of estrogen,
You might grow some other things. But
like, you know, lost the weight. Yeah, so I don't see the back. You get the estrogen. Yeah. You get
Paul Conyers, what does success look like for you, man?
I'm wrong every time, but I assume by the end of the year, we'll be back on live stages, sounds like. With that in mind, I there are certain things that I have in mind that I need to do and change in my act to take another step towards the comic that I want to be.
Okay.
It's like you don't really get to really try to become that on Zoom or in like a socially distant show. Like I'm talking about a real comedy setting. So anyway, whenever that's able to happen, but I just need to take the steps so that when it's time, I'm ready to make those moves in that transition.
Nice. Ingayo!
Yes, sir!
What's success look like for you, man? I know a lot of weed. I know getting high. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm in my house. I'm setting up a little grow closet.
Okay.
Okay. Nice. Okay.
So you're going to be the next who's Ponto B. Who's selling a lot of weed, making a lot of Scarface? Who was that? You're gonna be the next half baked champion, huh?
Mr. Nice, Mr. Nice.
That's what success looks like. Okay.
I'm working on my next album, and then I'm setting up for late summer and fall. I'm just going on a weed circles, jokes, and threesomes tour.
I love it. Okay, jokes and threesomes.
That last part. Okay.
Yeah, hey, Christy,
you lost the whole year. You got to double up.
I heard that,
like,
man.
Man, I only got like 10 good years of fucking left.
I like the way you think. Oh, guys, what are you talking about? You're George. Man, this smart man. You know, you got to double up.
I like it.
Love it. All right, we got a question for you. My lovely co-host has a question for you that everybody gets. Everybody gets this question, so we got to know. Christy, go ahead.
Yeah, we definitely got to know. So we're going to talk about dinner, okay? You can have three people over for dinner. They could be dead, alive, doesn't matter who it is. If you could have three people over for dinner, who would they be and what would you be serving them?
Give you a second to think about that. Three people, dead or alive. We've had some great answers to this. Man. So, and what would you be serving?
It could be anybody, okay? Yep. They don't have to be alive. You can just pick them up from the grave, bring them to dinner.
Buddha, Jesus, Mother Teresa.
And you know, anybody. We love to eat, so we want to know what you're going to serve to your three guests.
Al Bundy.
Yeah. You ready, fantasy. Alex? Go ahead.
Tattoo from Fantasy Island.
Tattoo, okay. I love it. Tattoo. Okay.
And Graham Hancock. And I would serve miniature finger sandwiches.
Miniature finger sandwiches. Okay. Tattoo. Now, are they going to have meat in them? They're going to just be like cucumber ones? I mean,
oh, sorry, Chris. What were you saying?
I'm sorry. Well, are they going to be like fancy, like little finger sandwiches? Are we talking about
some bullshit? It'll be like bologna.
Okay.
That was my question. I was saying, if you're serving tattoo, are you going to give them the fancy sandwiches? Or are you going to give them
the brain sandwiches? Yeah.
Dinner with midgets. I mean, little people. I forgot we got it. Because midgets and little people.
They're not old enough to get that joke, Alex. I
don't know what I meant. All right. Who's ready? And Guile, you ready to go next?
Sure. I would have Langston Hughes.
Wow.
Steve Martin.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Angela Davis.
Love it.
All right. What are you serving?
Everything. We probably have a tasting menu of seven tiny courses of dishes all over the world. I think I would email everyone and say, like, what name three memories that you have, or food memories. Somebody would be like, oh, I had a baguette in Paris one time, or I ate some shit in Cuba that was hella good. Then I would have my chef, right?
Okay.
Yeah, Adam Pichon.
Yeah. Ooh, that sounds good. I feel like I need to be your fourth guest then.
Yeah, please come on.
I'll be a server.
At everybody's table. We have Biggie and Tupac and Diddy in one.
All right, Paul, who would you invite and what would you be serving?
All right, I am going to invite, I'm going to invite George Carlin, Barack Obama, and then the third guy is going to be weird, but I'm going to invite Donald Trump, because if it's a dinner and it's two of the smartest people I've ever heard speak in my life, and this dude, he can't get out of all the dumb shit he's going to say. I just would love to see him cornered. And I don't know how to cook, but I think I've got to do like some big Italian thing where it's like five courses over 4 hours, because I've got to just let this motherfucker talk himself into just this.
That's hilarious.
I think that's the best plan ever.
I want to see that video.
I love that you have a strategy behind the dinner. I love that.
For sure. I was going to, you know, normally I'd say JK Rowling, but she, you know, she said some trans shit I didn't care for. So I'm going to put Donald in there. And,
the guests aren't allowed to leave. Like, he can't just be like, stay all 4 hours. We're not even at the table.
Yes, exactly.
We'll lock out your schedule.
Alex, you're going in now. What do you say, Alex?
Donald Trump is a McRib laced with arsenic. That's it.
And we just lost our McDonald's sponsor. Thank you very much. on that note, all right. Thank you, our guest. Thank our guest today, 2021. Excuse me, our first show. I'm trying to get over it quickly. 2021. And thank you very much for you guys coming. All right, everybody go around, tell them all your handles, where they can find you, whatever you want to promote right now. Paul Cronin, go ahead.
Okay. So again, I have an album and a special out called Above the Fray. It's on Amazon Prime Video where you can watch it. You can listen to it on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music. I have a podcast.
Oh, you know about the change.
Holly Blend. I do it with my buddy whose name is Cotton. And it's super fun. So listen to that. And I'm on Instagram, just at Paul Conyers. And would love it if you guys check out my stuff. Thank you.
And I've not been on a podcast, but I'm not upset about that.
Okay. All right. Well, we have more guests in 2021.
I hadn't been asked.
I'm at Funny Alex Ortiz on Instagram and on Twitter. Alex the Spigger Ortiz, of course, because I'm half black, half Puerto Rican on Facebook. And My wife.
Love it.
Bigger, yeah. Hey, bigger.
Bigger. That's what he goes.
I believe that she grows now.
But I have a movie on iTunes called I Am Gangster. It's one of my first lead role in a movie. And I released a song, a parody of Monster Mash called Monster Smash. We're all made up and I'm having sex with like Vampirella and Mrs. Frankenstein. So you get it.
So it's this. Like Freaky Tales.
Yeah.
Right.
The real one, the real Freaky Tale. And Guy, I'll tell them where they can find you. What you got?
NGAIO420 on all the social media. That's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I'm on Snapchat, but I mostly just lurk, so don't follow me on Snapchat. And I got two albums out, and you can go to my YouTube channel, and you can watch the show that's still on Netflix called Cooking on High, where I'm the cannabis expert. And on January 20th, I'm doing, I do that monthly show, so this would be the 12420 Comedy Extravaganza, and this month's headliner is Margaret Cho. So it's going to be nice. Me, okay. Margaret Cho, Tavi, Andrea Myers out of Sacramento and the Bay Area, Daniel Rugg Webb, who's very, very funny, and then Atsuko Okasut, if my name is Ungayo Bilam, I would be able to pronounce her name. Atsuko Okasuka is also one of the comedians on there. And Margaret Cho, whom I've known for years and years. I've known Margaret Cho since before we did comedy, because we went to different high schools together in San Francisco.
Wow.
So,
that's
awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
That's cool. Did y'all write on wax tablets back then, or did you have
wax cylinder?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I want to hear how that Al Jolson's doing.
Thank y'all. Thank y'all for coming out. Thank y'all for being here. Our comedy guests. And guess who's out? Off the Change podcast. We'll be right back after these messages.
Oh, you know it's off the change.
All right. We want to thank our sponsors again. We are back. We are back. We are back. Off the Change podcast is back. All right. So, Christy, I want to thank you for the T-shirts that you brought us, for the Off the Change T-shirts. Everybody can see. These are nice. So thank you for doing these for us. Or did you do them, or did somebody else do them? What?
No. So a girlfriend of mine did them. Now, she started a business during the pandemic. So, you know, 2020 was a good year for her, and she's been prosperous. She's been great, and she's really creative. So check her out on Instagram. It's @custom_by_Michaela. Okay. It's also Custom by Michaela on Facebook. And then she has a website now. So it's custombymichaela.com. Check her out. She's got everything from t-shirts to custom apparel, personalization. Right. She even does these little cute baby shower boxes with the kid's name on it. Everything is custom for the kid. It's really, really cool. So she's got some great stuff. So definitely give her a shout. I got her business card right here.
So you already had it ready. See, I'm thinking it was you that did these, and now it's your friend.
No. And you know what? She's a woman, and it's a Black-owned business. So support local, everybody. She's located in Sacramento, so hit her up.
Thank you. All right, cool. So off the change moments. So every episode, we will have these off the change moments. And I have two this time. Off the change moments to start off our first episode of 2021. Two of them. First one, off the change. He is really off the change. Mitch McConnell. So if anybody has not heard Mitch McConnell, we were all getting this surplus. We were all getting this this money, this stimulus, excuse me. The stimulus again that we got to pay back. But anyway, don't get me started on that. We got a stimulus. They've given us $600. Now, I don't know who in 2021 even in 1995 could live on $600 alone. I do that at McDonald's. I got five kids. So anyway, Donald Trump of all people went to go give us $2,000, and Mitch McConnell blocked that in the Senate. Now it's off the change because Donald Trump did crazy things for the last 4 years that they supported and backed. But when he tried to give us actually do something that made some sense and give us $2,000, he blocked that. Mm-hmm. So Mitch McConnell, you are off the change officially. Other off the change moment. Everybody knows I'm from Dayton, Ohio, OH10, OH to the dime. Ohio State Buckeyes just won yesterday against Clemson, Clemson University. Now, off the change moment from this is not only that we won, we're going to the championship game against Alabama. Roll over tie, that's what I say.
Oh, yeah.
But the head coach of Clemson, Dabo Sweeney, when he was told he was going to have to play Ohio State University, the number three team in the country, he said, I don't know why they made it in, because they're really only the 11th best team in the country. This is before he played us. Now he lost by two touchdowns. Dabo Sweeney, your butt got kicked and you off the change. All right. So we're going in that. All right. All right. Now all right, I'm back. Bye, I'm back. My blood pressure's down. My blood pressure's down. Episode three. I am very excited about this episode because I have a young lady on today, interviewing today, who I already, when I did this podcast before episode one, I had my eye on this person because I see what she does in the community. I see her on Facebook. She's a huge presence. We have met. She's been at shows and so forth that I've done. But I always see her out there, and I think her story is an inspiration because I'm always looking for inspiration, especially now with 2020 being over, 2021. We don't know what's going to happen. We're going into this tiptoeing. I told everybody, don't touch nothing in the store in 2021. Just wait. We're going to see what happens. But anyway, today I have with us Christy. You're going to love this young lady. She's an author. She is a motivational speaker. She is an overcomer. She's my friend, Miss Tiffany Dion. Give it up off the change. Off the change, Miss Tiffany Dion. How you doing today, Tiffany?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Fantastic. I'm off the change. Fantastic. Okay. How was your Christmas? How was your New Year?
It was awesome. I can't complain. I stayed at home and went to sleep at 11:15 on New Year's Eve.
You made it for the East Coast. You made it for the East Coast. All right. So, Christy, you don't know Tiffany. This is my co-host, Christy, and I'm sure you're going to love her story as well. So, for the listeners out there who don't know, and everybody who's watching, start at the beginning. Where are you from? And tell me a little bit about your story. Where are you from? What's your story?
All right. So I am from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Michigan in the building.
Michigan.
Midwest.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to tell you a little bit about my story, I was kidnapped when I was 10 years old. And I was ultimately sex trafficked as a young adult. And my book, my story, Restore, is the story of me being taken and the journey to being found again.
Wow.
That's amazing. But yeah, wow.
So you know what? I had an initial question because when I hear sex trafficking, and I hear, you know, we hear in the hood, especially around Black people, we talk sex trafficking, prostitution, and so forth. It's just not something we are sex trafficking. Not something we hear, a term we hear.
Right.
So what's the difference between being sex trafficked and prostitution?
Okay, so good question. So sex trafficking is the commercial sale of someone by force, fraud, or coercion, or if that person is a minor. So if they're under the age of 18, they can consent and they can technically, you know, say, yes, I'll do that. I would like to do that. And it's still considered sex trafficking because a minor can't consent. Does that make sense?
Got it. It makes major sense. Okay, good. Thank you for clearing that up. Yeah. All right, so what was your 10 years old? You're kidnapped. What happened? Tell me about from there. What was your daily life like? What were friends and family doing? What happened?
So friends and family were definitely searching for me, and I was taken by somebody that I knew. I was taken and I was gone for about a year. And so daily life was like trying to find housing and food and clothing. I went from like happy upper middle class little girl to poverty and fear. And
wow.
I remember the third day that I was gone, I remember the person that I was with telling me not to tell anybody your name because they'll be looking for you. And so I felt responsible for our safety. And I took on that weight of not being found, right? I took on the weight of I don't want the police to come and get me because they're looking for me and I'm scared because of what the other person said, right? And so you can kind of manipulate a child with your words. So I was very fearful of being found, but I wanted to go home at the same time. So
I spent
a year afraid.
So were you with other girls, other people? And
Nope.
Just you?
Just me.
Now, when you initially were kidnapped, what did you think he wanted? What do you think they wanted?
Well, you got to read the story. It's very clear what the other person wanted, and it's very clear what their motive was. And again, I was a child, so the person that I was with was somebody that I loved and cared about, and so I wanted everybody to be okay. I wanted everybody to be happy. I didn't want anybody to be mad at me, and I wanted to be home with my brothers and my family. So I had all of these desires and no way to voice them or to have them executed. So I just bore the burden of this fear and pain and hurt.
Right. You know, why do you think they chose you? Oh, go ahead, Christy. Go ahead.
Well, you know, that's a good follow-up question. And then I wanted to kind of, and maybe, you know, I don't want to ruin the book for anybody either. But, you know, how did that lifestyle go for a whole year? And then how you found your way back home?
Okay, so I got to read the book to see how I found my way back home.
Right.
But
I mean, it sounds like a lot of trauma would have happened even in that 1 year of span.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, just imagine being gone for a couple of days, the fear that comes. Steph, I know you can probably co-sign to the fact that the Black community doesn't deal with trauma well, right?
Right, yes.
So I got back and everybody was very happy that I was back. But they were also dealing with their own trauma of me being gone, me being taken, and me being away for a year. And so they were very sad. They were very broken. I was very sad and very broken. And it was just like business as usual. Like I went to school and we just continued being a family. But I was hurting and I was very, very fearful, very, very scared, and didn't know what to do with all those emotions. And nobody really helped me.
Yeah. And I was going to say, now, I know, for instance, I'm really big on mental health now because I'm a grown man. But at the time in the Black community, we don't talk about mental health because we look at it as you either snitching or you telling, you know, or you, if you're telling somebody else, you're telling a problem.
Right.
Like
don't,
you said,
don't go out here telling people our problems.
Don't go telling my mama said, don't tell these white folks what we
don't
doing up in here.
Business.
So, you know, and don't tell our business. And so that was and now I realize how catastrophic that is for a lot of men, especially Black men that were dealing with trauma, like myself, for instance. Because I love my therapist now and I love my therapy. But so did they take you to therapy? Did they initiate any help, or you just kind of got through that yourself?
No, just went to school and acted like it didn't happen.
Wow.
I have a picture of a couple of maybe like 2 months before I was taken. And then I have a picture of the day after I got back. Like my friends and neighbors and my father took me to Chuck E. Cheese and they were really excited, you know, and happy I was back. And so it was supposed to be like a celebratory time. And the look on my face, it looked like I had aged 15 years. You know, I look so hurt and so broken and so sad in a moment where I should be happy. You know, I just look like a totally different child. And I don't fault anybody. They just, you don't know what you don't know. Right.
So,
mental health is very important when we deal with trauma.
Now, when you're in the moment of that, going through that year, and you kind of, like you said, they had they have manipulated you into thinking that if I tell somebody, I get us in trouble and so forth. But what are you thinking in those moments? Are you thinking I need to find a way out? Will I get out? Did you think you were going to just be in that situation forever? What were you thinking in your mind?
I was thinking that I would probably not see my family again. And if I did, I was just thinking that I probably wouldn't see my family again. And I recall, you know, the person told me, you know, don't say your name. Don't tell anybody your name. Right. And so I recall being outside. It's in my story. I was on my way to daycare and I was skipping down the street going towards daycare. And I was whispering my name under my breath. And I was saying, my name is Tiffany. My name is Tiffany. My name is Tiffany. And I in my mind, I'm like rebelling, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Against what I've been told. And I'm thinking about my best friend. I'm thinking about my brothers. I'm thinking about all these people that are in my life. And I'm thousands of miles away from home. And I'm thinking, like, if somebody's looking for me, maybe they'll hear me saying my name under my breath and they'll just come and take me. I didn't want to be totally rebellious and just, you know, go in there and say, this is my name. But I'm thinking, like, how can I work this out to where maybe somebody will find me and take me away.
Yeah. So they kept a try to keep some sense of normalcy and sent you to daycare in school.
Yeah.
Wow. That is so interesting.
Right.
Wow. Okay. So what was the time period or the not without giving away too much because we want them to read the book, Restore. What was the day or the time period when you knew I'm going to get out or I think this is going to end for me. I'm going to be out.
I can't tell you without giving too much away.
Okay. All right. What's the first thing you did gaining some power back in your life once you did get out or you got back with your family?
First night home, I walked in the house with my father and I expected to be like very excited and happy, but I was just so sad and so overwhelmed by the year that I just went in the house and I cried and my brother just came in the room and held me and I cried and I felt bad. I felt bad for crying because I felt like I should be happy and I'm making everybody around me sad. So that's a horrible weight to bear as a child.
That's horrible. Yeah.
You know, I don't understand all of these feelings. Why do I feel this way? And yeah. I just felt terrible all the time.
The weight of that. Mm-hmm. Why do they choose you, but what do you think predators like that? Why do you think they choose the persons they choose? So how do you think that works in their head?
I don't know.
You don't know. Just okay. All right. Good. That's what CSI or Crime Finders are finding.
I don't know. I think for my family, since it was a relational crime, I think that everybody thinks that they're doing what's best.
Okay. All right. So interesting question going forward from that. Mm-hmm. And as you got older, you got into dating ages, you got into things. Did this experience make you, because the experiences like that make us grow up too fast, right? Mm-hmm. And so did that make you leery in relationships with men and dating? Or does it still hold with you now? Is there things that are different for you that you think about?
Absolutely. So yes. I write often and I'll share parts and bits and pieces of my story often. And I'll always preface it by saying that I know that I see things through rose-colored glass. I know that I see things through a lens of trauma. And even though I consider myself to be healed, I can't undo those experiences that I've had, right?
Right.
And so if I'm in a certain situation, like for instance, if I'm in a dating situation and I'm unsure or I'm nervous or I'm weary or just not really sure of what's going on, like I have a support system around me. I have really close friends and stuff around me and I'll run like normal stuff by them. Like, yo, is this all right to you? Like, is this normal?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Like, I'm ready to fight.
Right. Right. He went to Del Taco and he rolled it through my window. Is that all right? Is that cool?
I've got a little follow-up to that too. Like, in those cases too, like how else do you deal with that kind of trauma? I mean, I know it's situational too, because every, you know, maybe something that happens triggers something that takes you back to that 10-year-old period that says, ooh, I'm not sure. Like, do you lock up? Do you get anxious?
Yeah, I do. I do. And okay. It could be a smell. It can be like a word or, you know, okay. Anything that could be a trigger. And I know myself well enough to know like, okay, I need to go. Like, luckily I'm self-employed, so I can pull away. I can go home, you know,
yeah.
I can do what I need to do to deal with the trigger. And my friends are very aware. Okay. I just need to talk right now. Let me talk my way through this, or let me go take a nap, or whatever I need to do. And I've gone through counseling and, so all of those things have played a part in the healing process and then still walking forward and knowing that something can trigger me. Being aware has been the most freeing, because there was a long time where I wasn't aware. And I'm like, dang, what is wrong with me? You know, you just feel like something is wrong and I don't know what it is. And why do I get scared? Or why do all these things happen? And I don't know how to deal with it. Just having the knowledge of what trauma can do to your body. Your mind,
right.
That helped like 90% of the issue, is knowing what to do.
Right.
Go ahead, Christy.
So at age 10, I mean, I would imagine that that kind of trauma, one, that's not an experience of a normal 10-year-old child.
Right.
And you don't know how to deal with that. There's no way to carry that weight, that burden, the hurt, you know, the fear, everything that you went through for that year. As an adult, you know, without sometimes certain experiences, people don't know how to cope.
Yeah. So, Tiffany, you brought up something that was, you said something pointed. So I was, when I went through my experiences, I was adopted age 7, but from birth to 7, that's where my abuse happened, all 3 forms, sexual, physical, and emotional abuse. Right. And so I was probably 35, almost 40 until I could actually talk about it. Or mm-hmm. I thought I could say stuff to people, especially people mm-hmm. I was either dating or getting a serious relationship or so forth with, and then into therapy. What age were you when you said, I can talk about these things, I want to talk about these things, and then you could write the book and things? What brought that on?
I would say right around 31. Right around 31. And even at that time when I started writing, I felt like God put it on my heart to start writing. And mm-hmm. I started writing the day after the person who trafficked me was taken out of my house in handcuffs. And so,
wow.
Yeah. And literally the day after, and I'm like, Lord, is this what we should be doing right now? Like, isn't there other things that are more important?
Wow.
Right. And so I was writing foolishness, but I needed it. You know, I needed to get out what I was thinking, what I was feeling. I was writing something mm-hmm. to the respect of, I remember writing, I felt like I was speaking to other women, and I was saying, I don't know about you, but abuse was my fault. And then I went on to explain why it was my fault, right? I would never tell somebody that today. Never in a million years would I say something like that. But that was in the moment. And I needed to see all those experiences on paper to understand what happened and where I was going and, you know, why all these things took place. And so, again, at that time, you know, I had been sexually assaulted several times as a teenager, and I didn't acknowledge that at the time. What I felt like was I was a fast girl, right? Mm. And so
you said you deserved it. You did something to deserve it.
Yeah, like I was just fast. Like, you know, I was out here in these streets. But how are you fast with a 21-year-old and you a teenager? You know, that doesn't make any sense. As an adult, they're the responsible party. They know exactly what they're doing. They're preying on you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's,
but that was my mindset at 31 years old as an adult, that I was fast. And that's why those things happen. So when I started.
One sec. Can you hear us now?
Can you hear me?
Now we can.
Yeah, we can hear you now.
So when you said, when I start, that was the last thing we heard.
Okay. So I was saying, when I started writing, I started at the relationship where I had been trafficked, and then was writing that story, that situation. And then I felt in my heart, like, go back a little bit more. So I went back to like the previous relationship, and then go back a little bit more. And I landed all the way at 10, right?
So wow. I was
like, yo, all this stuff fit together. You know?
Trauma
played on trauma. And I literally, like, when I got taken, I came back so different, so hurt and so broken that it was easy to prey on me, right? And it's almost like you just have it stamped across your head. Like, this is a victim right here. So
you
can take advantage. Mm.
Wow, complex and multiple traumas. That's a whole nother story. All right, so a little bit making it lighter. So what do you now want? Your message, and you do motivational speaking and so forth, you speak to people. What do you kind of want to get across to young girls, women who may have been in the same circumstances? I know people now who even have gone through it, don't want to talk about it. What does that look like for you? What do you do now?
So I use my story as a vehicle to really inspire people to overcome those past traumas, those past experiences, whatever is holding you back. Like, so many people have been through so many things, and we just keep it moving. And we're, you know, grown-ups living in childhood experiences and not realizing that it's still affecting our lives. So, let's acknowledge it. Let's say, yes, it happened, and man, that really hurt me, but how can I move forward from this? And I can't overcome this experience.
Good. Good.
Yeah. Good for you.
So 2020 just happened. So I know with everybody, we all experienced this COVID thing together. And when did your book come out? When did it come out? What year?
My first book came out in 2017. My second book came out, because it's a 4-part series. So my second book came out in July.
Nice. So,
oh, nice. Congrats.
So, you know, when the movie comes out, I am an actor.
Okay.
So, and that's an IMDb, everything.
Right.
But anyway, this year, what was, I know 2020 took a lot out of us. What were some good things that happened to you this past year, though?
This year, you know what, despite COVID and despite, you know, having to be on lockdown for 3 months and everything, I have sold so many more books than I've sold in the previous years. And just really been able to share the stories. Good sales. Just being able to share the story has been amazing.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Shout out. That's right. That's right. Now, where can people find your book and purchase it?
They can go to my directly to my website, tiffanydionne.com. So TiffanyDionne.com.
And I'm going to have the link in our IG. And also you can, when we give you the Gmail address of Off the Change at the end, you can actually email us and we'll email you the link as well, because everybody should have this. Now, we got a couple of lighthearted questions for you. So if we ask everybody this question.
All right.
So go ahead, Chrissy, ask her the dinner question.
All right. Tiffany, if you could invite three people to dinner, it doesn't matter if they are alive or if they're dead, who would they be and what would you be serving up?
Three people, any three.
Yeah, you can, if you need a little time to think, go ahead and think about
it. Tupac, Biggie.
Okay, I would say Michelle Obama.
Okay.
All right, that's a good one.
Yeah. Idris Elba, did I say his name right? Is it Idris or?
Idris, you said it right.
That fine man. And let's see, we just go with Barack Obama too.
Okay, so Michelle, Barack, right. And Idris. Okay, got... Two eye candy and Michelle. I like it. And what you serving? What you serving?
So since my stimulus should be in the mail pretty soon, we're gonna do crab boil.
Crab boil.
All right.
Crab boil.
I
love
it. We're gonna have to come over too, Tiffany.
I'm sure they would love that. Thank you. But Tiffany, thank you so much for being our guest today. Thank you for coming on Off the Change podcast. I cannot wait for people to hear this in an upcoming episode. So any last words you want to say to everybody, or and you can also give your handles again for your book and your social media.
Sure. I would just love for you all to visit my website and keep in touch with me at author_Tiffany_Dionne on Instagram and Tiffany Dionne on Facebook. And of course, TiffanyDionne.com is my website. Thanks for having me, you guys.
Thank you so much. Off the Change, y'all. Thank y'all so much. So that is another episode. It's episode 3, the first one of 2021. That is your boy, Steph Sanders, and your host,
Christy Nong.
That's us. You can find me at I Am Steph Sanders everywhere. You can find Off the Change at OffTheChange at gmail.com. So you can email us. You can find us at Off the Change on IG and Off the Change Pod 1 on Twitter. Chrissy, you anything else you want to tell them? Give me your handles again.
All right. You can find me on Instagram at Foodie Nong, FoodieNong. And yes, I love to eat. And I'm also known as the Lumpia Queen.
That's right. We want to thank Asirious Productions for being our engineer and producing today and every episode. Again, check us out next week. Every Wednesday is a podcast episode. Off the Change. Tell your friends, tell your family, share it with your friends, the enemy, anybody you want to, church folk, listen, everybody. Get in here and get off the change, y'all. See y'all later. Thank you so much.
This has been the Off the Change podcast with Steph Sanders and Christy Nong. Produced, recorded, and engineered by Sharon Smith of Asirious Productions. Please check our social media for more bonus content. Thank you.